is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 309. In case of flaming pandas, click here. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And welcome to yet another episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
What?
I said Panda.
I said what?
I said, how was your week? Damn, you don't gotta be all aggressive and everything.
It was okay.
I was just trying to, like, make conversation or whatever. You don't have to be like...
We make conversation every week, Ninja.
Yeah, once a week. Ooh.
We talk more than once a week. Off air. Sometimes.
Thank you. Truth speak. But this
what?
Week.
You are happily married, Ninja. I am a panda. Not married.
I am an unmarried panda.
Never been married panda.
I'm a panda that is without marriage.
Yep.
Though not without intent.
Whoa, what?
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 I don't know. I'm what? Making shit up.
Wow.
Can we talk about video games?
Yeah, really because you know more about that than...
I'm really good about video games and...
It's like your
gadgetry.
Forte.
It's kind of my ish, if you will.
It is an enthused passion of mine.
It is, in fact. And you know, this is a good week because one, we've both slept. Okay? Two...
Wait, slept or slipped?
Slept, as in sleep, you know.
Well, snoring and, maybe you
snore.
More than
no,
me.
No, you snore.
No, I'm saying sleep. You probably slept a little bit more than me because I'm being
but
terrorized.
But we've both gotten sleep, okay? We're both healthy.
Well.
All right? Okay? Nobody's got a fever.
Nope.
Okay? Nobody's got any spilkers in their neck, their joint.
Is that my spleen?
No, it's kind of... I'm not exactly sure where it is, but you don't want spilkers there. That's what I know. And so, this should be a pretty interesting podcast for us, because no one's trying to rally or hungover. So, that's good.
I haven't been hungover in a while.
It's been like a couple of weeks. So!
I mean...
And this is a non-drinking podcast episode, which is a rare
thing. We need to drink more on this show.
We do need to drink more on the show. We haven't had a drinking
Alcoholic
podcast.
Sisters 2012.
Well, I'm just saying, we haven't had a alcohol-infused episode of the podcast for a month now, so it's probably about time.
I want to just be lathered in alcohol, which is kind of odd because alcohol can't lather.
Well, it can, but you really shouldn't drink it if it does.
Well, I didn't say drink it. I said I want to be coated in it.
Oh. That could possibly be good for your skin. But
yeah, but also really dangerous around fire.
It would make it highly flammable.
I'd be flammable.
It would be highly flammable.
Flammable pandas. Flammable pandas.
Bad. That's just a bad idea. That's just
in
not,
case of a flaming panda.
In case of flaming panda. Run!
Click here.
So, with that being said, video game stuff.
Yeah.
And stuff about games.
And so, the American way.
It's really the only thing that we can do to be really, really American.
Well, that's not true.
Born in America, so
we could say America.
No. That doesn't make you American. That makes you retarded.
We could blackmail people.
No, that just makes you corporate America.
Then we can.
Can we focus?
Can
on
we
the
take
video
the money
games?
From the evil corporation and give it to like the environment?
No, because that makes you a hippie.
American.
Not necessarily.
Well, I only met the environment in America.
Well, I can't help the environment in America. You know what I can do? I can talk about video games. Let's talk about
Talk about the topics that people really care about.
No, let's not, because that's not this podcast. Can we just talk about video games?
Well, that's the topic that I care about.
Okay, well, let's focus. Okay, we're gonna focus now.
This is a really bad day
for
me.
This is really way too much caffeine for this podcast. I apologize for the content of this podcast. I, yeah. I
We're going on a downward spiral ride, kids.
I do not approve this podcast.
I do, but I'm not.
But it is what it is. So, this week, I have been playing DOA 5 like a fiend. And like a fiend for me means...
Twice a week.
Yeah, that's about right. But I'm getting back into the swing of things because October is here.
Broke, bitch. October has arrived.
It is
here in all of its pristine glory.
Yes. It lays itself bare before you. And
spread your wallets wide. For they will be emptied.
Dig deep. Empty them out because it's going to happen. So.
Just make sure you're using protection.
Always. Always use protection. So.
Don't want paper cuts.
Those things hurt. I know. Really bad. Especially because you always get them right in the curvature of your finger or your hand. So it's always moving. So you're always
irritating. Paper cuts on my face. Don't ask me how that happens.
I'm not even going to talk to you about that because I don't want to know how that happens. But.
I'm a cutter.
No.
That's not cool.
That's not funny.
I'm a paper cutter. Oh, just kidding.
You know what? Focus! This is why you can't give panda cupcakes.
This is why sisters shouldn't do podcasts.
No, sisters should do podcasts. Sisters should not feed sisters sugar before said podcast.
That's I didn't even eat a cupcake.
I did. And that was irresponsible of you. So, anyway, focusing. Video games. DOA.
Hey, look, a pony.
Stop it. Stay on focus. So, I did my first feature piece on my first impressions of DOA 5 on EGM last week when the game launched. I was lucky enough to get my hands on a Xbox 360 copy of the game. So thank you to Tecmo for sending that over so that I could actually spend some time with the game. I have to say, just like I said in my piece, picking up the game, it felt like I did not leave off at all from playing 4. It felt like a natural evolution in that I had been playing the game forever and a day when really I hadn't picked up DOA. Probably, I think, the last time I played DOA 4 was 2 months before E3 because it's one of my go-to for fighters.
Yeah, but don't you have a DOA for your 3DS?
I do. I have Dimensions for my 3DS. And I brought that with me when I went to LA. But I don't count Dimensions as a console release, you know, because it's the 3DS.
But is it canon to the original DOA series?
It's basically DOA 4.
Oh.
You know, on your 3DS. So you have the 3D piece of it if you want, but it's the same characters.
To 3D or to not 3D? That is the question.
It's really not a question. Don't. Just don't. So.
To hurt my eye sockets for better experience.
In my review on EGM, I really talked about the gameplay, the setup, what DOA 5 made me feel, what I enjoyed about it, but I hadn't really delved into online play yet, and I hadn't gotten into the heavy versus or multiplayer yet. I've actually had the opportunity to do that now, and I gotta say, I really like some of the additions that they've put into the game for the online piece. I was always impressed with the matchmaking piece of DOA 4 on the Xbox 360 system. I had the most fun playing a fighter game against other people that I didn't know in DOA than in some of the other fighting games that I've played before. I thought that the ability to kind of rank players by letter so you knew who you were getting into a battle with. So if I was in a lobby with all A's, I knew to take my D-loving behind out of that lobby quick and in a hurry because those people knew how to counter. And I was just going to, it was just going to be sad. But I have to say, with the addition of things like throwdowns where you can basically challenge your friends to beat your scores in different ways, whether it's a survival streak or just a number of wins things, it adds another dimension onto the online play that's really enjoyable. So I can have my experience of having ranking matches and getting ranked and running up the leaderboards if I want to, or just simply going in and watching, which was a thing that for a lot of times people didn't really enjoy as a byproduct of the matchmaking piece in DOA 4, because while you were waiting for your chance to fight the winner, Because basically, if you went into a lobby, depending upon the fighting style that you picked, basically you'd have a King of the Hill thing, which is whoever was the winner from a fight would take on all comers. So that could switch depending upon, you know, how good a person was. Well, while you're waiting for your chance to fight, you're actually watching the matches that go on ahead of you. So it's not like you have a blank screen or you have just generic fighting
going on. Oh, God, so you can see what you're getting into.
So you can see what you're getting into. You can see how a person tends to fight, how they tend to block, and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of times, if you had somebody who was King of the Hill for a long period of time, the people that would come into the room would cheer on everybody that was trying to knock them off the pedestal. So you kind of have the enemy, my enemy is my friend thing that would pop up for a while, and people would give you hints. Oh, he's going to throw the thing, block, block, low block, you know, all that kind of stuff, and you could hear that going on. Well, that vibe is still there now because you have the opportunity to just go into a room and watch.
Ah, you voyeurs out there.
Well, I mean, it happens, though. You know, let's say that you were in the middle of playing and you've got to jump offline really quick, but you don't want to jump all the way back to the main menu to come back in. Then you can just watch fights that are going on. And
breathe heavily into your mic.
Please stop breathing heavily into your mics. That's not cool. It's just, it's not cool. Okay? Please? But, I'm so happy with DOA 5. Like, more so, to be honest, than with Soul Calibur.
I like Soul Calibur.
I like Soul Calibur, but as a fighting game and an enjoyment of the mechanics, I'm definitely enjoying DOA more.
But you were a DOA girl from the start.
I was. You know, but here's the thing. I was a Soul Calibur girl from the start. I still have my original copy of Soul Edge for the PlayStation. Just like I have my original copy of DOA for the PlayStation. I also have my original Tekken and Bushido Blade.
What about Toshinden?
I don't have Toshinden, but I do have Samurai Showdown.
Oh, I wish they would redo.
They're all in the same collection because, you know, fighters are really where I fell in love with video games. So I still have all my original fighters, and I have to say, I enjoyed the last outing of Soul Calibur, okay? I made you play it with me, and then you ended up picking it up.
I know.
Okay? I really enjoyed that Soul Calibur. I thought that it was one of the more balanced outings in the game that they've had since 3.
Yeah.
Okay? But if I had to pick, and I could only play one fighter for the rest of this year, and they said, look, here's the new Tekken game, here's the new DOA 5, here's the new Soul Calibur. You can only play one of these for the rest of the year. Which one would you pick? I'm picking DOA 5.
Because you're a fighter.
The fighting mechanic is really balanced. The counter system is deep. The fighting system is deep. The online play is solid. You know, while I like the character creation pieces that are in Soul Calibur, I don't need them to enjoy the gameplay. While I get different costumes and DOA, I don't need them to enjoy the characters and the gameplay. Tag mode is really fantastic. It's flawless in its execution as far as doing your tag combinations, your tag combination throws. Really, the skill comes in getting your timing right and getting the right characters for how you play or how you want to play. That really kind of set the tone of whether or not the game is going to be for you. My only nitpick is that the default native layout for the controller doesn't work for me, so I had to go into the options.
Because of your baby hands.
I do have little tiny hands. So I had to go into the menu options and change my controller mapping around, which is easy to do, and it just made it a slam dunk for me. Like, I don't have to think about it. Okay, it's a given that if I put that game in my Xbox, I'm going to have a good time. And that's what I want out of really any game that I put out money for. So I want to know that when I put that disc in my Xbox, or I put that disc in my PlayStation, or I put it in my 3DS, then I'm going to have a good time for however long I'm going to spend on that game. And DOA 5 does that for me. Like I said, the online play is really enjoyable. I have had a couple of matches where lag was an issue, but I think that was more about how many people were actually in the room and on the system and using it at the time of night that we were using it than really any problems with the game itself.
Okay.
So I'm not going to knock them there for that because I think it was really just the server. You know, you battle Friday night, late night.
Friday night.
There's a couple people on the server is what I'm trying to say.
Got on my Xbox.
Stop it. This is not the musical episode of our podcast. That comes later in the year, Panda. But what I've really enjoyed is actually sharing this experience with you because you're not a DOA 5 player.
I'm not a DOA player, let's be honest.
Okay, but I gotta tell you, you seem to be picking up pretty quick because that's one of the things that I really wanted to see because I've played DOA. Again, from the beginning, I've played DOA. So it was really interesting for me to see how somebody who hadn't ever played a DOA game.
Never, ever played it. Never, ever played it. Never, ever played it.
Would do picking it up for the first time. So, Panda, my dead or alive virgin.
Whoa, not anymore, obviously.
Was it good for you?
Whoa. Don't ask me that. You're my sister.
I know, that was kind of creepy.
That was gross.
It was kind of creepy. But we're talking about a video game, so it shouldn't be that gross.
I don't know how I feel about it just yet. We played a little bit more before the show today, where I decided that I need to master counters, because if you really want to play this game well, you need to counter.
Yes, if you want to do more than button mash, you must learn to counter.
If you want your character to move flowily.
If you want to have the moves like Jagger.
But fighting moves, because Jagger doesn't fight.
Jagger fights. You better believe Jagger fights.
Anyway, you want to understand the mechanic. And I wouldn't say that I'm used to button mashing per se in my fighters. I mean, I am a Street Fighter, Soul Calibur kind of person where I'm really good with throws and memorizing bigger moves, but not necessarily the fundamentals, which is kind of my weak point in terms of fighting.
Right.
And I know that about myself.
And you accept it about yourself.
Yes, but...
And yet you don't try to change it about yourself.
Well, I'm trying to by playing a game that really kind of forces you to get with it or get the fuck out. I've enjoyed the layout. Like, visually it is very pretty, but I mean, I don't know where its roots are. So I'm actually going to step back and actually play some Dead or Alive 4 to see, so I can do a bigger comparison between the two
Dig
games.
It?
But I mean, it does look really, you know, really fleshed out. I like the texture that they're playing with a lot, like in terms of the clothes and the skin and the eye. Like, I mean, a lot of it is really minute, but if you're paying attention to it, you're going to notice it.
A lot of attention to detail was paid to the characters as well as the environments.
Yeah, like they're very interactive. Like, you could literally throw someone through a fire ring at a tiger.
Tiger.
Which I was like, whoa, I could throw you into that tiger. That's kind of cool.
And a tiger, and then attack them.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that level, you can also, in one of the rings, you can knock your opponent with a context grab into, basically launch them into the clown nose in the circus arena, and then they'll get shot out of the clown's face.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's clown rape.
It's not clown rape.
Oh, yes, it is.
Stop throwing that on there.
Some people don't like clowns, so touching a clown is like being raped by one.
Stop it! It's not right. Stop throwing that word around.
Anyway, so I do lift my, you know, tip my hat to that, but I mean, I need to see the start before I look at the finish and really be able to understand that.
You're not missing much.
I have noticed, however, through the first few bouts of gaming is... my hands can't decide where they're going to sit, which I also think is a very key element to this game. You really can't hold your controller, and I'm not talking joysticks, because obviously those are very different from your standard 360 controller. But you have to either commit to your...
You have to take a fighting stance.
You have to. You can't hold it like you would hold it if you were playing...
a platformer.
Yeah, nope. Absolutely not.
You will get your ass handed to you.
Yes, which is exactly what happened.
Yep.
Because I don't play a lot of them. And I mean, even for Soul Calibur, I can hold my controller that way because the keys are mapped to that style.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really not effective. And I kept having a hard time with my fingers. I had problems with my fingers. Trying to discern whether I was going to use the D-pad or the little mini joystick on the controller. Uh-huh. And I kept finding that I was losing my rhythm between switching between the two. But that's just because my natural hand position is so different. So ideally, I mean, you just got to go into this game with a different mindset than any fighter than you've probably played within the last 6 months. Because nothing...
No, the Capcom versus Marvel games definitely have a different feel to them. It doesn't... DOA does not feel like any other fighting game that I've ever played. And I've played the Marvel versus Capcoms. I've played most of the Street Fighter games.
Like, I mean, I feel
from
like...
the SNES
I feel
all the way
like
through.
It's a watered... It's watered down. It's back to basics. It's Christina Aguilera's back to basics, which is nice.
I wouldn't say that it's watered down. I would say
no. That's
that
why
it
I'm
is...
saying it's back to base. It was Christina Aguilera's Back to Basics album. You know, she had done all these different flashy things. You know, like the Marvel versus Capcom SNK, which literally you if you don't have what is it?
Oh, honey, why you don't have?
No. That ailment that when you see flashy things, epilepsy.
There you go.
If you don't have epilepsy, you can get epilepsy by watching people play that game. Because it's very, very stylized and moving all the time.
Here's the thing. You know, DOA for me...
Let me finish my thought.
Well, finish your damn thought.
Well, I'm just saying...
Because you're like having three thoughts over there.
I know, and I'm going to get through all of them.
Well, let's see.
So, thought one. It is back to basics, DOA mm-hmm. 5, which is not a bad thing. In fact, it is a good thing mm-hmm. because you're going from your high, stylized, fanciful, constant graphic and motion all the way down to this is about the fight, this is learning about protecting yourself and learning the different techniques and utilizing that to your advantage.
Okay, thought number two.
No, that's it.
Oh, you know what? Because here's what I was going to say. The thing about DOA is that it is a good bridge game between straight, just fighting, fight style against fight style, skill against skill, with no specialties, flurries, magic, superpowers, charge attacks, and your over-the-top superpower, crazy... non-realistic fighting pieces, okay? Where you have your strict, just no frills, this is fighting, fighter against fighter, skill against skill, virtual fighter game, to your Marvel Capcoms where you've got, you know, characters using laser beams across the room and, you know, spinning star kicks and stuff that's just not possible. I find that DOA has enough of the poking fun of itself mechanics and a little bit of over-the-topness in the style of the characters and the story going on. Because you have a bunch of the Ninja Clan in there, and then you have a bunch of your Iron Fist style fighters in there. And they all clash in some way, but it really is about mastering the counter and mastering the strike pyramid, understanding that strikes are stronger than throws and throws are stronger than holds, to understand what you should do to counter whatever your opponent is throwing at you, knowing that your opponent isn't going to throw a lightning bolt at you, but knowing that your opponent could throw you into a snake.
I think the most enjoyable thing for me being a... I'm going to say a novice. To fighting
Noob.
Games in general, even though I do Noob. Play some. Shut up.
Noob.
Shut up.
Noob.
Anyway. But I'm going to say this. I like a game that, one, makes the character, makes the player have to commit to the combat. You can't be running around the screen. Like, you can't really, one, your movements that way are very small and minimal. So your character's like, no, we're going to do this. And you're like, I'm not ready. And then it takes, you know, your character
Correct.
Takes a boot to
you
the
face. You
can't
really run. You have dashes and you can avoid.
And you could strife.
Mm-hmm.
You could strife.
Yep.
But you can't run to one street and then power up and attack. It's all close combat for the most part. None of the characters seem overly big or muscular or really, really heavy because everyone seems to move very well for whatever size set or style that they are. Yeah, they
feel equally matched.
Yeah, so you don't feel like, oh my god, this person is playing the lightest character, which I noticed, like, the females, which I really want to tip my hat to Tecmo here on this, because we're dealing with women who, they don't all look like they're, you know, ex-porno stars.
Nope, not all of them.
Not all of them. And they don't look like models either. They all have hips. They all have, I would say, generally thicker thighs. None of them look anorexic.
They all have full figures for the figures that they have.
I would say that, yeah.
It's to balance them boobs.
I don't even think the boobs are astronomically big.
Did you not see Tina's boobs?
Well, she moves. She's trying to.
When Tina doesn't move, but she moves.
But she moves. Yeah, and she loves her daddy.
And she loves her boobs.
I love you, daddy.
You didn't put her in the bikini outfit.
No, I put her in the shirt because I didn't want to see your boobs jangling at me.
I mean, they jangling.
But
I'm okay with jangling boobs, though.
But I liked the fact that they looked more realistic, especially for girls who are, you know, athletic and fighting. I'm sorry,
were you saying that Ayane's boobs were realistic?
I haven't played Ayane to really stare at her.
You should really, like, take a look at Ayane. The boobs aren't realistic, all right, but they're more realistic than they have been in the past.
I'm talking about the characters that I played today, okay, which is Helena. But I'm just saying,
we got to talk about Christy. The boobs, because DOA gets a lot of
crap.
Yes, for the boob system, and it's one of the things that in 5 they've definitely pulled under control more so. I mean, yes, they are still ridiculously big for any woman to actually fight with boobs that big in some of the outfits that they're wearing. It doesn't work, right? But it's all fantasy anyway, because you're playing a video game. So I don't have a problem with characters that have big boobs. They still bounce, but everyone seems to be more proportionate in their boob size to their body size than in previous games. Like, when you go and you play 4, when you look at Kasumi and you look at the size of Kasumi's knockers, you're just like, no. No. You can't. First of all, that would hurt when you jumped.
Oh my god, gravity slapping against you.
All right, your boobs would be clapping every time you did that forward roll thing over a person. You just get, you can't be a sneaky ninja. Hey, maybe
that's why she thinks she's the best, because she's always hearing an applause.
Okay, well, it could be. But you can't be a sneaky ninja with boobs that clap, okay? So it doesn't work. But I would definitely
make them clap,
say,
clap, 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 clap.
But what I will say is that I agree, the characters seem to be more in proportion in this game than any other game. So it's not a thing that draws your attention away from the fight that's going on. And in previous games, it did. Like, I would catch myself being like, dude, I can't even try to throw you right now. My boobs are ridiculous. And I don't have that effect. I have not had that thought yet while playing DOA 5.
Well, that's good. That is very good.
Because I have no problem with my character being very sexual or being very sexy.
What's the difference?
Well, okay, so for instance, when Tina does her little taunt thing where she runs her hands up her body, it's like, oh, okay, that's being sexual.
Okay.
Okay, for me, being sexy is flaunting a little bit of your body without, you know, showing everything. So when you get a little bit of side boob on Ayane, that to me is sexy as opposed to being sexual.
Like, let me grope my boob from the side so correct. You can touch it.
Okay, that's more sexual.
Women exploring their bodies since the dawn of time.
Where, you know, for me, sexy. So, as an example, I think that Mariposa's outfit that she fights in, both the one that is the pantsuit and the one that is the tattered skirt, is very sexy. It's not a sexual thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, she's not groping herself or anything.
Right.
So.
And it's not like, you know, it's like little strings that, you know, all just come together in one little piece that just barely covers the nipple. That would be more of a sexual thing
little
than
cam
a
treatment.
Sexy. Correct. And so there's a difference. I have no problem with characters being presented, female characters, in a way that makes them sexy. Okay, I prefer that any character that I play that is a female character in a game has some kind of sex appeal, right? Whether it's because she's really smart, and you know, wears outfits that, you know, while she's covered, still accent off the curvature of the body. That to me is sexy, and I enjoy that in a character. You know, I want to play characters that are a little sexy and a little smart and a little feisty. Because I like those things in my female leads. Just like I like those same things in my male leads. You know, I like male leads. Oh, I love it.
My male character runs his hands up his body and then grabs his junk. Oh, it's so hot.
I can't even talk to you right now.
Nope.
But I do enjoy that in the characters, and so I have no problem with boobs and bouncing and showing off side boob and having on a you know, skimpy, barely there outfit if it really plays up the sexy part of a character. You know, Christie's outfit in the game is skin tight, it's a jumpsuit, and it zips down the front so you catch a little bit of the bra.
And now, she's got a weird pseudo black panty. Yes. On that jumpsuit.
Uh-huh. That, you know, just draws a little more attention.
Which would bear, like, if it was underneath the jumpsuit, would barely cover her crack.
Correct. Okay.
But because she's wearing the jumpsuit, it's okay.
Well, and it's also sexy because it's not like her boobs are just, like, out and bouncing. You're catching side boob. You do get to see
that sexy, lacy bra.
But you do get to see, and she moves very much in a way that is very sexy, and so she comes off as a slinky,
a sensual snake.
Correct. And I enjoy that about the character. So I feel like even though the characters are presented in a very sexy way, it's not a sexist way.
All right.
And I'm really, really okay with that. I have no problems with characters being presented as sexy. It's the sexist ones where it's just so over the top and so unrealistic because then I feel like that's how the developers see the female character, which means for me, that's how they see the female in the role. And that's what makes me upset. You know, but these characters are really in 5, I think, for the first time, presented in a sexy, not sexist way. And I really like that.
Good for Tecmo.
Really good for Tecmo Koei. I mean, it's a good fighting game. The characters are solid. For the first time, the story mode, the way that it's presented, the story makes sense. It's not like a knock out of the park, really rich and deep story, but it's a good enough story for a fighter game. And I actually found myself when playing the story mode really working hard to complete it because I just wanted to know the end of the story. And that doesn't happen with fighters.
Right. That's true.
You know, so, I mean, double bonus on that. And like I said, the multiplayer is great. The online is really enjoyable. I don't have anything about this game that is not enjoyable. And that's an awesome thing to be able to say about a game that, you know, the last version of the game that was out that wasn't a 3DS version, the last console game we're talking was nearly 7 years ago. So to be away from it for 7 years and deliver such a solid game, so to come out and say, look, I'm a fighter, we're about the fighting, we're about the skill, we're about having a good time while you do it, because if you're not having fun, why do it in the first place, has delivered a game that meets all those things. You have the nasty and sick combos that you can do. They get even better with juggles and combo tag match throws. And seriously, I am just so in love with this game. If you like fighters at all, you need to do yourself a favor and pick up DOA 5. That's it. Buy it now. Roll your ass down to your GameStop because Ninja told you to buy it right now.
Wow.
Like right now. Pause this podcast and go buy it right now.
That's a little extreme.
Yeah, I said it. Boom. There it is.
Whoop. There it is. Whoop. There it is.
All right. What you got? Because I'm telling you, buy it.
Well, I mean, I really haven't played too much. But there are some things on the horizon that I'm very excited about their anticipated releases. Mm-hmm. Because I do plan to play not one, but both of the ones that we're going to talk a little bit about. The first one, since it's really just a me thing.
It's a you thing?
Yeah, it's a me thing.
It's a you kind of thing?
It's all about me for this section. Not the whole show. But come Tuesday, we are getting.
What, so that means tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
Resident Evil 6. Capcom is finally giving us Resident Evil 6.
Oh, yeah, that's all you.
It's got me written all over it.
Really? It actually, if you look in the background of the purple stuff, you can actually see it says Pandelicious.
Yeah, it does. Like, squint your eyes. It's like those weird, crazy
magic eye test.
Magic eye thing.
When you do that, you can see it and it swirls around in circles.
Yep. And you can totally see an avatar of me kicking Jill in the face. I'm just kidding. I have come to appreciate Jill in my tender years of development.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I didn't like her for a long time.
No, kidding.
Oh my god, I could take on the tyrant in a little mini skirt and tube top and people could take me seriously. And then I was like, well, she did take out...
there you go. An example of a character not being sexy.
Just I'm just saying, sexist. Like, in the first game, she was wearing her military garb, which made sense.
Yeah.
But her game all by herself, tube top, mini skirt, with a rocket launcher.
I mean, being
stalked by Nemesis. And I'm like, Nemesis is wearing more clothes than you, and he really doesn't need it because he's not human anymore.
But I mean, she did have a rocket launcher, though.
Well, I mean, you got it later, but you didn't at the start of the game.
Oh, dude.
But a lot of the images of her, you saw her with, like, a giant-ass gun. And I'm just like, small skirt, big gun.
I'm okay with that. I mean, yeah, you know. But
I was just like, you don't need the skirt. And granted, you could unlock a skin that let her wear more clothes, but you had to earn...
Yeah, but what's
her face earn more clothes.
What's her face in the, Dead or Alive game? No, not Dead or Alive. Devil May Cry game had a little skirt.
Lady?
Yeah, and a big-ass gun.
Yeah, but she also had a giant lab coat. She wore a white lab coat.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, the older version
the
of her did.
The older version.
But the younger version wore a girl's... Yeah, but she wore a girl's, like, a Christian school girl skirt.
Yeah, with and a white big t-shirt. Old gun.
Yeah, and a white t-shirt. Yeah. But, yeah. I'm not even going to try
but,
to...
I'm
not going to deconstruct Lady right now. That's a totally different podcast.
I know, but we
They
really
didn't even
should.
Give her a name.
I know,
they gave her a dog her name. Lady.
You
know what? If I have a daughter, I'm going to name her Lady. And then she'll be like, Mom, why do I hate you? And I'll be like, Devil May Cry made me hate you.
And you're like, no, I don't hate you. I named you after Lady and the Tramp.
I named you after a bitch. I named you after a snooty bitch. Who,
a sweet snooty bitch.
A sweet snooty naive bitch.
She came around and
who wanted a rebel bad boy for.
They had puppies.
Yeah. Did you see the sequel?
No, because I've learned you don't see the Disney sequel. You just see the.
Hey, hey, the third Cinderella was not so bad. The second Little Mermaid can suck my nutsack. And I happen to be a big fan of my little.
Okay, it's only really the Toy Stories that
have decent and good sequels.
Correct.
Anyway, but getting back to it, yeah, Resident Evil 6 tomorrow. I downloaded the demo, but I didn't play it. I did follow
what?
A lot of. I didn't.
How you get the demo? You don't play.
It's really easy, actually. you download it one day.
Yeah, and you never
and
go
then,
back to
and
it.
And then Borderlands. You know, you play
Borderlands
and you forget.
Happened. Right.
And you forget. Right. But then, right. You know, I realized that even though I've been following the news about everything that they were showing off and the selected demo that they were showing off and then the one they made available to the public, I figured, I'm like, you know, I don't actually have to sit here and play it. And I'd really like to go into this as blind as possible. Because I already kind of have a sour taste in my mouth regarding the way that the game is going. Granted, we're getting, I believe...
What do you mean? What way it's going? What make you sour?
All
why
right,
are you so sour?
So,
why are you so sour, Pandelicious?
So, Resident Evil 1 through... I'll just say... I'll say 1 through 3.
Mm-hmm.
Truer to survival horror than 5.
Oh, are we getting on the survival horror snob?
Yes. Horse? Yes.
Oh, okay.
So so 1, 2, and 3 are really the pinnacle for me. Granted, 4 revitalized it. 5 took 15 steps back and went to the Qdoba for a burrito in Africa. So five
I don't even know what a burrito has to do with it. What did a burrito do to you?
Because it got just... All right, so...
You're just hungry.
Resident Evil 5 got distracted.
Uh-huh.
And went to a very sunny place like Mexico where there's burritos.
Okay.
But it's like a Mexico in Africa.
It's a Mexico in Africa.
So it took a serious detour.
Uh-huh.
And though I liked the combat system and I played the fuck out of it, as everybody knows.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
But I apologize for Resident Evil 5. I apologize for my love of it. And I worry that I'm going to have that exact same feeling coming into 6. I mean, there are several different campaigns. I believe there are 7 playable characters, though they haven't fully touched on everybody that you'll get right. to play in these campaigns. I do like the idea that they're giving us multiple ones as opposed to one with the option of playing one character or another, because you've got 4 different plot points going on.
Right.
That will all converge at the end of the game, which in most movies that do that, I tend to enjoy them. So from a cinematic perspective or a lineup, I'm interested to see how that's going to go.
Right.
I'm not worried about the gameplay. I really expect that I'm going to pick this up and know exactly what I'm doing. I just have to see what guns are available for what characters and devise my strategy for that gameplay there. My only dismay is that some of these campaigns are going to be on the air of flair action and not the horror part. Because now we're not really dealing with zombies anymore.
What you're really concerned with is the gentrification of the game.
Yeah. Because honestly, they could put any 7 characters in a bioterrorist situation having to figure out where the cure for whatever virus is, the BH127 virus. And it would still be a good game. It doesn't need to be a Resident Evil game for it to be a good game.
Right. Okay.
So that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that I'm going to be like, oh man, I really want to feel how I felt when I played Resident Evils 1 through 3.
So what you're saying is you're afraid that it's going to feel more like an action platformer and less like a survival horror.
Well, I mean, yeah. And I mean, I've seen some gameplay that has already kind of attested to that, even though I know that the Leon campaign is supposed to be a stronger homage to the survival horror aspect. It's sad that in your game you have to homage something that you kind of revolutionized.
Yeah.
You shot it in the face, but oh, we're going to remember it with this memorial plaque here. Sorry, survival horror, we shot you in the face, but we're thinking of you. Well, you shouldn't have shot it in the fucking face, and you wouldn't have had to memorialize it. If right. you know what I mean.
Right.
But even then, in the playthrough of that I saw, like of the demo of the Leon campaign, I'm still upset that he's like running from rooftop to rooftop. The rooftop slightly slides down like he's sliding and there's a zombie at the end. And instead of taking his gun from a distance and shooting the fucking thing's head off, he takes off a Bowie knife and shoves it through the throat. Through the mouth to the back of the head, which I'm like, you would have had to be staring very intently on that zombie mouth to wait for the right moment that the mouth opened for you to do this maneuver. It is not a move that I would do in a survival horror situation. I would take distance over flair.
Right.
And that's where you lose me. Granted, he kills the zombie, but I'm like, your hand, theoretically, if you're pushing a Bowie knife through the mouth.
That's an action platformer type mechanic that you're talking about.
It is.
It would feel natural for Drake to try and do something like that with a person that they're...
I would expect that from anybody from the Gears of War franchise.
Right.
Any of those characters.
Yep.
For sure, because they're trying to make a monotonous situation of the war and fighting a little bit more entertaining for them, even though they're now sick fucks. But not in Leon's case, where we have seen Leon go from, you know, rookie cop to, you know, veteran cop to, I'm going to save the president's daughter in Europe. To renegade dark cop, everything's going to hell.
Basically, it doesn't become Liam Neeson.
A younger, blonde. Not even, because Liam Neeson, I would do Liam Neeson, but I would not do Leon S. Kennedy. I want to know what the S stands for. Is it Simpson or Simon or like Stewart?
Stewart.
Leon Stewart Kennedy. Leon, I bet it's not a very sexy middle name.
It's not.
You should just be Leon Kennedy.
Yep.
Anyway. So I'm dismayed about that.
You're dismayed?
I am dismayed.
Oh, I thought, okay.
I am dismayed about that. Gotcha. Still going to buy it because I believe that Resident Evil is redeemable.
Right.
Not to mention I'm looking forward to if they're going to do like a mercenary mode or any of those things. Because I've happened to like those after I've played every difficulty, which we all know I'm going to do.
Yep.
And I'm going to pwn at it. Bitches, be careful. Secondly,
I mean, just put it out there, Panda.
No, and I'm looking for a partner.
I mean, don't beep your own horn.
We could be a band of brothers.
Beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep. The second game that's coming out, and that comes out on the 9th. So next week,
week,
the following Tuesday comes out
on a very special Tuesday.
Yep, it's coming from Bethesda.
Oh, boy.
Yep, you should already know what I'm going to talk about.
We're going to talk about. This makes me excited.
Yep, so I am not dismayed about Dishonored.
No, no. Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, the disses.
Yeah.
It's all about the disses, baby.
Don't do that.
But yeah, Dishonored. So that's coming out on the 9th, and I am looking forward to this. I did get to sit in the big tutorial at E3 this year with Bethesda to see what they were going to do with Dishonored.
I'm gonna hit the pause button right there. First thing I want to say is, Bethesda always puts on a good show.
Okay? Agreed.
Every time we've visited with them at E3, I've always been entertained and that kind of thing. But I really thought the whole movie theater experience that they created, where they did their presentation, and a few other people did that. The team over at Activision did the same thing with Call of Duty 2. But I felt like the way that Bethesda took you through the guided tour of Dishonored in that room was really spectacular. Please continue.
All right. Well, so what's going on in this game?
What's the game about?
Well, it's about this dude.
This dude, Corvo.
Corvo.
Yep.
Who is this, like, legendary shiny bodyguard to the Empress of this.
He's, like, so good.
He is, like, a young, hot Liam Neeson.
And
the Empress is, like, his daughter. Except not, because they're not related.
He protects
her the way that Liam Neeson protects his daughter in Taken.
Yes.
And Corvo is framed for her murder.
Yep. It's not cool.
But he didn't do it.
He didn't. It wasn't him.
He's like, I could have. I mean, I've been by her side this whole time. Like, if I really wanted to do it, I could have done it, like,
but he was like,
a while ago.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me. Even though I was on the floor there, it wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
I might have penetrated, but I did not murder her.
It wasn't me.
But anyway, so he is forced to become this assassin, and he is out for revenge, unlike that blonde bitch on the CW. I should watch Revenge. People tell me I would actually like it.
No. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Move along.
But anyway, so he's out. He's got his hit list ready. And he's ready to take out everybody who pretty much conspired to get him. Yeah, to get him framed.
To get whoever it was that actually did kill the Empress.
Yeah. Anyway, he does have a hand kick, an outsider who's helping him with these, by giving him, like, these magical abilities. And
he's kind of got, like, some magical abilities.
Yeah, like, he can make things glow.
He kind of has the glow.
He can imbue things.
But not, so like, he imbues Leroy Corvo with the glow or whatever.
But anyway, so, I mean, we've got first-person perspective. I'm already down with that. I've always loved the idea of stealth in my games and it being a strong, utilized element in the game.
Right.
Because that always plays with the whole morality clause of, if you're going to go in guns blazing, are you going to be trying to be tactful and be more conscious of human life when you stealth around and you don't actually kill blatantly,
yeah,
but you do it tactfully.
I agree with you. I do enjoy games where you really kind of get to frame your gameplay, because how you choose to play actually really affects your game, whether you choose to, like you said, go guns blazing and just kill everything in sight. Certain things happen, or certain things, or ways the stories could go, become available to you as options. Or if you are more stealth and pensive and thinking, other options are available to you. So you really do have an effect on the story.
Yeah.
Which I think definitely makes it a much more enjoyable interactive experience when you're talking about gameplay. Mm. As opposed to being led through element to element to element to element all the time.
Yeah.
So I agree with you completely on that.
And I mean, and the game has this really strong emphasis on your choice. I mean, like I said, you can go in guns blazing or sword blazing, because this is like an industrial town area. Or you can be tactful, or you can do a menage of both.
A menage of
that and, well, it's not a menage, it's just two things.
So, well, there's you.
A blending. You can blend the two together, or you can single it out. Chris, hard work. And yeah, I went there. And I kind of like that. I really do. And you can also play with the, you know, doing your attacks with, like, your weapons or by using your magical abilitas. So, I mean, they're giving you so many options that you can't get bored.
Well, you could.
You could, but then you're a jaded motherfucker.
Really jaded person.
But I really like that idea. And I mean, the world is really gritty and dark. I actually kind of felt like the way that it was presented is that just like Corvo should just be like the Industrial Revolutionary Batman.
Well, the way that it's set is the environment very much is, you know, kind of modeled in the late 1800s. So it's got a feel of like decrepit, dark, dank, steampunk-ish, like,
oh, I love steampunk.
And so the city itself, Dunwall, is very industrial, but there's definitely something that's happened because for the environment, the steampunky feel, there's all this advanced technology.
Aliens.
As well as magic. And, you know, one of my things about the game is how these two things coexist, and as part of your exploration through Corvo's journey in the game, does some of that become told to the player and discovered by the player or not? So that's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah. I also know that some of the features that we're actually going to get in this game, and this is where I kind of foam at the mouth, because I'm really big into role-playing games, as everybody who listens to our show knows. And we're getting, like, a character upgrade system. We're getting the moral choices system, but it's not as linear as, oh my god, I eat a carrot, and because I'm not eating a animal or a sentient being, it gives me good morale.
Fable.
It's not like that. It's not Fable. That bad, because Fable. That made me feel bad about wanting to eat meat.
Fable.
Plus
you got fat.
You got really fat.
Like, real quick.
And, I mean, I eat meat every day, and, I mean, I don't get that fat by eating one piece of chicken.
We're healthy, but we're not like, we're beefcake.
Oh my god, beefcake. But you had a cupcake, bitch. You had a baby cake. Shut up.
Cupcakes are baby cakes.
But I really like the moral choices in the fact that it has this focus on allowing you, like I said, to be stealthy about, you know, getting around. And you could literally get through this whole game without killing anyone. And that's including the boss fights.
Yeah, but you got to be really clear about that. So as you went through the demo with Bethesda, and the trailers are up on their sites as well as the game trailer site, so we can share a link with you in the podcast notes about that. But you still have to eliminate a target. The difference is, do you go in and through a direct action that you take, stabbing them, shooting them, strangling them, meleeing them, do you kill them, or do you create and set up something in the environment?
Do you play Jigsaw from Saw and set up a trap that will kill them?
That allows, well, not even setting up the trap, because then you're affecting it, but do you set up certain things in the environment to take place so that they have a reaction and through their own actions they become dead?
Whoops.
So it's more of a passive kill versus an aggressive kill.
Which I like the idea.
I
absolutely do. Like, I mean, I'm sure we're going to be going through, like, a long list of people who have conspired against our character. But, you know, the lower ones down the chain who might have just said, hey, take that left instead of that right. Well, maybe you don't want to take your Bowie knife to his face. Maybe you just want him to be in an area where he'll fall and die by himself.
That's absolutely possible. And the amount of work that's gone into this game is also really impressive. Corvo does not speak in the game at all. And it was really done, you know, by the Bethesda team to make it easier for the player to really kind of inject themselves into the role. Some people said it was a cop-out, but I actually agree with Bethesda. When I have a character that doesn't speak, I find myself speaking for them when I play the game, and that does get me a little bit more invested in the character. Unless the character voice work is so impressive and ties so well with what the character would have sounded like in my head, that I make that connection. But Susan Sarandon provides a voice for a character in the game. Brad Dourif provides a voice for a character in the game. So Susan Sarandon is basically Granny Rags, who's a former aristocrat But she's been living on the streets for years, so she's gone like wackadoodle.
Oh my god, she's kind of gone like Sweeney Todd's wife in, you know, Sweeney Todd.
Well, but she's really gone wackadoodle.
Yeah, so did Sweeney Todd's wife, because she took that poison that was supposed to kill her, and it made her batshit insane.
Yes, but she didn't actually kill anybody. She was just kind of walking around talking some bullshit. This lady's actually
Satan's on fire.
Crazy. Brad Dorf provides the voice of Piero, who helps provide Corvo with the mask he uses to hide his true identity as he's going around and doing things as the assassin, but also helps him with gadgets and whatnot. Michael Madsen does a voice. Lena Headey does a voice. Even Chloe Grace Moretz does a voice. And Carrie Fisher does all of the kind of propaganda spewing that's coming out over the PA systems that are everywhere in the city of Dunwall. She's the voice of all of that going on. And
when you are near, my heart is at peace. Hurry home.
Yes, he's killed the Empress. I'll see you beheaded for this, Corvo.
My dear Corvo, what a sad hand fate has dealt you. The beloved Empress dead, and everyone thinks you're the killer. But we know what really happened, don't we? You don't want to end your life to the sound of idiots cheering as your head hits the muck, do you? Let's see if we can do better. And to make things interesting, my mark. Consider it a gift.
All members of the watch, we are now under high alarm. Stay alert and detain any suspicious person on site. Attention all citizens. By order of the Lord Regent and the City Watch, all contaminated buildings are strictly off-limits.
Signs of sickness and plague must be reported to the authorities at once. By the laws of the Lord Regent, report all sleepers.
Clear them out.
No!
Anything.
the environment that's in the game is really interesting as well, because there's this plague, and the plague that's happened is really the thing that the aristocrats and the government has latched onto to basically keep all of the people in order. And it's being carried by rats and whatnot, and so people are getting infected, and they're weepers, and they're called weepers because they cry blood.
Okay.
And then they have episodes, and they become violent against other people. So you're basically fighting the government, you're fighting these weepers, you're trying to figure out and find out what happened and why you got set up as the killer of the Empress, why somebody would want to kill the Empress.
For power.
Figuring out why the fuck you have all these abilities.
Money, power, respect.
Sure. Like that.
Yeah.
And whatnot. So I'm really excited about the game because it already, from what I've seen, and what I've read, you know, Bethesda's been sharing a bunch of different diaries and deeper looks into the city of Dunwall and character creation, motivation for Corvo and things like that. It really is a very, very deep experience that they're trying to portray, and I think that's really cool. So I am really looking forward to getting my hands on this game on the 9th, because I think it's going to be fantastic.
But yeah, that's really all I wanted to talk about with those two very awesome games in the beginning. Broke Bitch October.
Dishonored will be on the Xbox 360, the PlayStation 3, as well as Microsoft Windows OS PC base, so you can pick it up on any of those. I think for a lot of the mechanics, a lot of you guys are really going to enjoy the PC play. Me personally, I'm picking it up on Xbox.
Yeah, me too.
Just because I can.
Because you don't want to hook up your PS3 again.
No, I mean, my PS3 is hooked up.
You just don't want to turn it on.
Yeah, I just haven't turned it on. I'm probably not turning my PS3 on, frankly, until God of War game comes out.
Turn mine on for
because, as you remember, there are more things coming up in Broke Bitch October, like Dance Central 3.
Yep.
Like Assassins.
Yep.
Okay.
And well, wait, is that in October or is that in November?
I thought it was October. It might be November, but I thought it was October. I thought it was the end of October. So like the 28th.
I thought it was early November.
It might be early November. I can't keep up.
I'll be gone till Broke Bitch November.
I can't even follow that. I can't
give a kiss to your mother.
Your mother's my mother, and I kiss my mother all the time.
There you go, Mom.
So, with that said, if you want to know more about what we're thinking about games and gadgets and all that kind of stuff, and anime, then you want to check out the stuff that we write on our website, egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. You can find that new stuff the moment we put it out there. If you want to find it on our homepage, you can always visit electricsisterhood.com to check out the articles that we write in the week. If you don't want to go to electricsisterhood.com, you can use the short address, which is
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address, like we said, will bounce it along when you check out any articles that are written within the week. All questions and comments should go to our Facebook page.
Facebook.
Which is Land of Esh. I'm there all the damn time.
Facebook.com/Landovish.
But if you didn't figure that out by the fact that we have a podcast, we also have a podcast.
We do have a podcast. And you get those brand new podcast episodes either by subscribing to our podcast in the iTunes podcast application on your mobile device, your iPhone or your iPad or your iPod Touch.
Or my iPhone I smack.
Sure. That thing that she invented in her head.
I didn't invent it. The guys over at ERB did.
Sure. You can also search for us in the Microsoft Store by looking for Electric Sisterhood, hitting the beautiful little subscribe button that appears to ensure that brand new podcast episodes of our weekly podcast show up to you the moment we put them out upon the interwebs. But if that's not the way that you want to get it,
then you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, we have some friends that you should know about, too.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. While we put out brand new podcast episodes every week, pretty much, on Mondays, you can follow the podcast that we do up with a podcast that our homeboys over at Boston Bass Brigade do on Tuesday, which is co-hosted by our homie King Baby Duck. Follow that up on Wednesday with a brand new podcast episode from our homeboy Deuces Wild over at Geek Aggro. And then for the rest of the week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, there's the stuff that we write about on our website, egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. There's all the stuff that we talk about on Twitter and on the Facebooks. That's twitter.com/ninjasista. If you want to find everybody that makes up the Land of Esh, check out the Land of Esh list. If you want just the news that you can use that we come up with, then you want to go to twitter.com/ESH news. And like Panda said, you got questions, we got answers. Or if you just want to see what kind of random stuff that we're thinking about, we think is cool, that we just want to share, you can become part of the community over at facebook.com/Land of Esh.
We're still not at 200.
Let's not even go there. It's not even about the number. We just want the community. We want to know.
I would like an even number, please.
That's just your OCD talking.
I know.
It's okay, though.
But it's so distracting.
Don't be distracted. Just be embracing of it.
Don't dream it. Be it.
Speaking of which, Panda!
Yeah?
What shit you digging this week?
New Balance sneakers.
Ooh! Somebody got some new kicks.
Yep, because I'm getting back into the health tip.
You're getting back into your regimen?
Yep, and I want to run, and you can't run without a good pair of sneakers.
No, you got to, that is true speak right there. You got to have the good kicks if you're going to start running and walking, boo.
Yep, so New Balance sneakers, you rock. Mm. Winky face, what are you digging this week?
My Adidas!
You're not even wearing them right now.
No, not right now, but seriously. No.
But she digs them.
No, I am, however, wearing my Adidas shirt.
Yes, I know.
But I too am also getting back up on the active horse, and so my Adidas gear is, I don't want to say my gear game is tight, but it is, and comfortable
it's
as
so
hell.
It's so tight.
So stop it. But seriously, I love Adidas and Converse, but this week it's
like
my Adidas.
She loves
I got
them.
I got my lattice lace work going, so I'm pretty happy.
She can't do it on a pie, but she can do it on her sneakers.
Oh my god, you know what? Don't be calling me out like that. Me out like this. As
call
always.
Call me maybe.
I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out until next week, people.
I'm waving goodbye to everybody.